importance of the message that you carry. And then real briefly at the end, I want to look at what that message is. But the weight of proclaiming the good news should be something that weighs heavily on your heart. It's not light. The gospel isn't just a book that we read or a person that we talk about. There's a weight to that. So Jesus says to his disciples in Mark 16, he says, and then he told them, go into the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. In the ESV, he says, go and preach the gospel to everyone, everywhere. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. And there you have a little glimpse of what Jesus is telling them. There was a commissioning in Matthew 28. But he doesn't tell us exactly. He says, go and teach the people what I've commanded you. And Jesus doesn't give us insight what that good news is, even though his message he's been preaching all along. But he says in Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the good news. And I want to quickly stop there and look at that word gospel that Mark uses, that word that they also translate as good news. Paul, in all his letters, when he refers to the good news, he uses this specific Greek word. And it's called, say it with me, euangelion. 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 Say it with me. You are carriers of the euangelion. Euangelion. Now, so just so that you understand, the New Testament was written in Greek. So, and sometimes when we use a word, it brings up a picture to memory. So words mean something. And when you use a certain word, you understand, you have a clear understanding of what that meant. So when Jesus said, preach the good news, when he said, go and preach the euangelion, the disciples knew what he was saying. If I say to you, pink elephant, I don't have to put up a picture for you. Everyone knows what a pink elephant or what a pink elephant should look like. If I say to you, Murray McDonald's Mercedes. So for maybe some of the Bonnievale folk that don't know, it's wrapped in chrome. It's flashy. But here in this context, if you say Murray McDonald's Mercedes, everyone knows what we're talking about. If I say to Christopher, what did you have? What meal did you have last night? And he says to me, KFC. He doesn't need to go explain what KFC means. If he says to me, he had a Streetwise 2. Who doesn't know what a Streetwise 2 is? Never had one. God bless your soul. Sushi lady, if you know what nigiri is, then for the sushi lovers, they'll know what I'm talking about. The disciples knew when Jesus said, euangelion, you must go preach the euangelion. And the word euangelion means this. He said, it was an official announcement. Euangelion means that it is an official announcement of a major history-altering event. So Jesus was telling them, I'm sending you out to go preach of a significant, major history-altering event. And it was rooted in two pictures. In war, they used to have an angelos. that was a runner. And it became popular in 490 BC when, at the Battle of Marathon, a runner was sent from the front lines after they won the victory. And he ran all the way to Athens. And when he got there, he said to the people in Athens, "Joy to you, we have won." And then he collapsed. And for those of you who might be interested, that's where the distance he ran was 26 miles, which is our marathon that we run today. That's where it comes from. He ran 26 miles, 42 kilometers, at the Battle of Marathon. So the disciples knew that they are carrying a message, that they are there to announce victory. Another picture that they would have thought of when Jesus said Euangelion was, it was used in the Roman Empire, which Rome was subject, or which Jerusalem was subject of, and it was used to announce the birth, coronation, and victory of an emperor. And an emperor at that stage was seen as a savior figure who brought peace, prosperity, and order to the world. So the disciples immediately understood when Jesus said, Euangelion, that a war has been won, and it was an announcement by or to a Roman emperor, which was a figure of peace and prosperity and order. So the message that they would have heard and understood what Jesus was saying to them was that there's a weighty thing that they are carrying. The message of the good news, the message of Jesus Christ, isn't just some story. It's not grapevine gossip that we, did you watch the rugby this weekend? It wasn't just something that we generally share. It's not something that we, maybe if I feel led, I'll share the gospel. You know, we use all these spiritual language, and when we get confronted, we're like, I didn't feel the Holy Spirit in the moment, so I didn't want to say anything. You have to realize that you carry a message of power, that Jesus, when he instructed us to go and preach the gospel, he had something very profound in mind. The war is over. Peace, prosperity, and order in the kingdom has come. We see, so the Hebrew Old Testament was translated into Greek as well, and it's known as the Septuagint. And I just want to look at two scriptures that relate to the word euangelion that they used. In Isaiah 52 verse 7, he said, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings the good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." In Isaiah 61 verse 1, Jesus used that scripture in Luke 4 when he announced his ministry, when he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." So when Jesus tells you, go into all the world and make disciples, when he tells you, go and preach the gospel, it's an official instruction. It's not just something in passing. And you have to realize that you have been entrusted with that news. As laborers, when Anton was saying earlier that we are called to be laborers in his kingdom, he's called us to be proactive with carrying out his message, the kingdom message, the gospel, the euangelion, the good news. Now that we understand the weight of Christ's commissioning, what is that good news? So you may feel now, okay, this isn't just something light. This is something important. And you have to go and resolve that message in your heart. You have to go resolve in your own heart, what is the good news? You have to go study, what does the good news mean? So that when you come to a person, that you're ready and prepared to share that good news with people. So what is the good news? Anyone? What is the good news? Jesus died for us. So if you go look and you just go reference good news, what is the good news? You're going to get hundreds of explanations. But the crux is that Jesus died. And he not only died, he rose and he ascended and he reconciled us to him. And I want to go through Colossians 1 and I want to encourage you, go sit with Colossians 1 and go meditate on that. Go read through it and let the Word of God saturate your souls, saturate your heart so that you understand what this good news is. I want to read here, and we're going to go through systematically. We are talking about our Father in heaven just now, but in Colossians 1, first of all, Kerry, you don't have this, so I'm just going to read verse 3. He says, Paul prays, this is one of Paul's apostolic prayers. He says in verse 3, we pray for you and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he tells us who God is. God is the Father of our Lord Jesus. I pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus. And then in verse 4-6 he says, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. So Paul is writing to the Colossians of accounts he's been hearing. He says, we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the message, the truth of the good news. Then he says in verse 19, if you go to verse 19, and verse 20, Paul goes from verse 15, giving us a picture of who Jesus Christ is. And just in verse 18, which isn't on the board, I'm going to read it to you. He says, Christ is also the head of the church. The church is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. And then verse 19 20 says, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. Jesus, his son, the fullness of God was pleased to live in his son. And just in verse 18 he says, his son is the head of his church. So God in his fullness chose to live in his son. And then he says, he has made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood. Jesus paid a price. That is the good news, through his blood. Then verse 23, or verse 21 to 22, I'm going to read through. He says, this includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now, he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Does that sound like good news to you? Then he says in verse 23, as a caution, but you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. He gives us an instruction. Continue in this belief. I'm of the opinion that it's not a once saved, always saved. That we have to work out our salvation. And he says, yeah, Paul tells the guys, continue. Don't drift away. Then in verse 24 to verse 26, he says, I'm glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I'm participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. Verse 26 says, this message was kept secret for centuries and for generations past, but it has now been revealed to God's people. He says there's a mysterious message that's been reserved that is being revealed now. And what is this message? Verse 27, for God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing in his glory. When you accept, just like Paul was saying in the beginning to the Colossians, he spoke a truth that they believed. They started actively believing. This is the message that they were believing, that they were reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus, and that Christ now lives in them as well. Jesus Christ in his fullness is living in them. Isn't that good? It's our identity in Christ. And then verse 28 says, so we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given you. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship to Christ. That is why you share the good news. That is why you tell people. The message that you carry is that you are not reconciled with Christ at the moment. The good news is that Jesus died and reconciled us back to the Father. And Christ, the mystery that Paul was talking about, the mystery of the gospel is that Christ lives in us. I want to conclude with another, probably this is another profound scripture, is Romans 1, verse 16 to 17. For I am not ashamed of this euangelion, this weighty message of Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, Jews first and also the Gentiles. And then verse 17, this euangelion tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. It's not through the law It's not through how religiously you can follow and wake up every morning at 5 o'clock. That's good. I'm not saying you mustn't do that. If you do that, that's good. But it's through faith in Christ Jesus, knowing that Jesus died for us. He shed his blood for us. And because he was the perfect sacrifice, we are now reconciled to the Father. The wrath, the vengeance of God was satisfied through the blood of his Son, so that we can now be sons and daughters in his kingdom. That is the message that you carry. That is the good news. So I want you to remember, it's not something light that you carry. It's not something that we should just handle like diddle-daddle kind of way. It's a message that God has instructed us with an official mandate to go out and tell people about the message of Jesus Christ dying for us and reconciling us to God. Amen.